Our scripture reading today is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning. It's a cold morning this morning. When I was walking to the car, my hair actually froze in place, and it's starting to fall now. I don't think I've ever had this much volume. We missed you all last week, but it was kind of beautiful to see all the snow outside. I was mesmerized. I don't think I've ever seen that much snowfall in one day in my lifetime. It was beautiful, and then Monday I had to go dig out the car, and it was less beautiful. So, just to give you guys a little bit of a recap, we're continuing our series in Philippians. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Allen preached on Philippians 2, 1 to 1. Where Paul summarizes to the church in Philippi who Christ is. And here, in verses 12 to 18, Paul tells the church in Philippi how they should live because of Christ. And if you know me, you know you're going to have one phrase that you're going to hear a lot throughout this sermon. So if you're taking notes, write it down. Work out what God is working in. One more time, work out what God is working in. Now, first Paul says, work out your salvation. And if you read the NRSV updated edition of the Bible, it actually says, work out your own salvation. Now, the absolute worst way to interpret that is that if I do enough stuff, I'm going to get into heaven. If I read enough verses, if I spend enough time praying, I will earn my salvation. That directly goes against what was taught earlier in this chapter. That we cannot earn our salvation, but it is given freely as a gift by Jesus Christ. And that transforms us. Tom, we good? Okay. I'm going to stand over here. What I love is that Paul says, your own salvation, which means we have something to do with it. Jesus is within each and every one of us, but we still have work to do. And that work that has to be done inside each and every one of us will not be done this side of eternity. That work will only be completed when we are called home. So I want you to think about this in your life. How can I live out what God has already done? At this point, the church in Philippi, they know who Jesus was. They know that he ministered. They know that he did amazing miracles. They know that he did all of this really great stuff, and then he was crucified and he rose again. They are aware of all of that, and all the people have accepted that Jesus is their savior, that they want to follow Jesus, but they don't have access to the same stuff that we do. So Paul teaches them about their role in transformation. Number one, we take our faith very seriously. We respond intentionally, and we focus on our own lives. One thing that sometimes we as Christians have a habit of doing is we lose sight of our own salvation. We focus on other people's salvation. We say, hey, you should really be doing this. You should really be doing that. But Jesus kind of addresses that, where he says we shouldn't be calling out the speck in our brother or sister's eye while ignoring the log in our own eye. So I'm not saying don't look out for your brother or sister, but I'm saying take a look in the mirror and think, am I also living out what I'm telling people to do? Paul, throughout all of his letters, uses a lot of workout metaphors. So I thought I could use one to explain this passage. Now, this is a picture of a hack squat machine. Many of you aren't going to know what a hack squat is, and that's okay. But how many of you have ever been to the gym? Can I just get some hands in the air? Anyone ever gone to the gym? Yeah, right? I remember my first time in the gym. I was 12, and I thought if I did some bicep curls, I could turn into Chris Hemsworth. You don't know who that is? It's the guy who plays Thor in the Marvel movies. We don't really look alike. But when you work out, your body changes. When I started playing sports in university, we got individualized workout plans that were each and every one of us and designed for our sport. We have a few athletes in our congregation. Violet and Elsie, you both dance, and you dance very well. Wesley, do you dance, Wesley?
A little bit,
but you play basketball. Now, if they were to switch workouts, I don't know how good your workout would help Wesley with basketball. And I don't know how well his basketball drills would help you with dancing. But we have individual workout plans that help us. Now, let's take this metaphor into the next step. God knows each and every one of you. God knows who you are. So God has a plan for your life. The thing that works for you might be different than the thing that works for someone else. That makes sense? Just like we train for different sports, we have to train for who we are. So, working out is something that takes time. God can give you the workout plan. He can say, Brother Roy, I need you to study the book of Ephesians. Brother Roy has the choice if he wants to follow that workout plan. He has the choice if he wants to practice what Jesus has put on his heart. You all have that choice. That's free will. It's about if you want to put in that effort. Now, if I can take this in a biological stance, promise this is the most science you'll hear today. There's a thing, it's real, it's called muscle memory. So if you work out for a while and you get really, really strong, and then you stop going to the gym for a while, you lose some of that muscle, right? But if second you go back to the gym, you pick it up way faster than you did the first time. That's actually a metaphor for us as Christians. Do you get it? It means that if you are in a season of learning and then you get tempted away, you get pulled in a direction of work, or you get pulled in a direction that takes you away from the church, you're always going to be welcome back. And not only are you going to be welcome back, you are going to be able to get right back to where you were really, really quickly. The thing is, you can't lose your salvation. See, it's an ongoing transformation. See, Jesus lives in you, but the change doesn't happen all at once. Could you imagine if I went to the gym one time? Actually, before that, I used to go to my basement. My mom had these 5-pound dumbbells, Simon, and I would try and get ripped for rugby when I was 12. Guess I didn't get that big from those 5-pound dumbbells in my basement. But if you keep going and you keep learning, this is a lifelong process of growth. And the thing about Jesus is it doesn't matter if you start learning when you're 5, when you're 50, when you're 90, you are always able to grow because he has known who you are since day one. And I want to be very clear, we will never be a finished product on this side of the world. This is a broken world. And as much as we strive to be Christ-like, we will never fully reach the maximum potential until we're up in heaven. But I think that's beautiful, because that encourages me that no matter how far I am or how close I am, I'm still going to get the job done. Because whatever I do, He is going to do the rest. Isn't that fulfilling? I mean, that's inspiring. So I want to advise you, church family, work out what God is working in. Now let's talk about practically how we're going to do this. God is at work in you all the time. God is at work in your actions. God is at work in your desires. And transformation in His work is a response to it. Let me tell you something. Before I knew Jesus, I worked for me. I did what I wanted to do. We all did, right? It's easy to serve you. But transformation happens when we serve God. So sometimes it's really hard to transform our habits. So I do it through prayer. This is what I try to do every morning. I say, Jesus, I am willing. Change my heart. Change my desire. Lord, I want to sleep in. Help me wake up early. Lord, I don't want to talk to that person. Please give me the strength to do it. Lord, change the part of me that is angry, that is resentful, that is full of hatred, that is full of pain. Change the desires of my heart. Open my eyes to You. And I do. I pray that every morning, because can I tell you something? Guys, I still make mistakes all the time. I do. I get annoyed. Oh my gosh. I have to tell you, this week, I had to take my dad to the hospital. His diabetes was acting up. And there was all this snow on the road. And if you were in the side, anyone drive on the side streets in Toronto? Everything that's supposed to be a two-way was a one-way. And I was driving, and this other person was driving, and one of us had to back up. And in my head, I'm like, what is wrong with this person using the road? Doesn't she know I have things to do? I have an important thing to do. And I felt the anger hardening my heart. And I realized, what would Jesus do? So, back the car up, give a friendly wave. She didn't give me a friendly wave. She seemed annoyed. But that's okay. I think it's important that we're honest about what we struggle with. And I can give you a piece of advice. I would say quote your scripture back to God in prayer. When you read your Bible, quote it back to God. Say, God, Paul said the church in Philippi did this, so do it in me. God, You changed Peter. He was angry all the time. Change me. God, make me better. You've done it all these times. Do it in me. Quote scripture back to God. Let's keep rolling. Working out what God is working in. Let's talk about obedience. See, obedience is hard because it's easy to be obedient when it's something we want to do. It's hard to be obedient when it's something we don't enjoy at all. And sometimes we complain because we have pride. I think complaining reveals the pride that we have in ourselves. What do you complain about recently? Anyone? I complained about snow this week. Too much snow? I complained about the city this week. I was like, why haven't they moved the snow yet? I'm with you, Brother Roy. Yeah, Skylar. Yeah. A lot of snow. This year? Well, 2026, I haven't complained that much. But 2025, I complained about the Blue Jays. I complained about a salary cap in baseball. I've complained about the Leafs losing. There's a lot I'm complaining about. But actually, Paul is giving us a biblical warning. He says in verse 14, without grumbling or disputing. In Exodus chapter 16, it says the people grumbled. If you don't know, in Exodus, they were walking to the promised land. They were complaining about walking to the promised land. To make it sound crazier, these people were slaves. They were in a spot of despair. They watched Moses part the Red Sea. And they were still complaining. They were saved from certain death. And now they're walking to the promised land, and they're like, well, God, this is taking a little too long. One more miracle, please. Could you imagine that? Isn't that crazy? It'd be crazy. It'd be like living in Canada and complaining about that we have to walk to church in the snow when there are churches in China that are underground. There are missionaries that are over in other parts of the world that would die for preaching the message that I get to preach freely this morning. And then I realize the amazing thing that God is doing all over the world. And if God's doing all this amazing stuff, should I be complaining or should I be praising? Should I be praising? Yes, I should be praising. Guys, let's get a little excited in here. Come on, it's warm in the house of the Lord. We should all be praising, right? Because God is doing amazing things all over the world, yeah? So keep that in mind. Keep that in your heart. When you have a grievance against a brother or sister, when it's really, really cold, and trust me, it's cold. When you feel like the preaching wasn't that good today, when you feel like the worship wasn't that strong, when you feel disconnected from your church family, remember what God is doing. Remember what God has done. And remember that he's going to deliver you. I almost want to end the sermon right there, but I still got like a whole other half to go through. See, the thing is, God's chosen people forgot who God was, forgot what they had. And Paul says, do not repeat their mistake. So I'm going to ask you to not repeat their mistake in your own life. Ooh, sorry, pen. Whether that's the anger you feel towards a coworker, whether it's the anger we feel about same-day shipping being delayed because of snow, whatever that anger is, whatever takes you away from God, take a step back and think about all the good things he's done in your life. Think about the times that he has saved you. Think about the transformation that you have seen. Think about the amazing work that has been done in his name. See, you are children of God, right? Say, I'm a child of God. Say with conviction, I'm a child of God. See, God is at work in each and every one of us. Jesus is transforming his people, each and every one of you. And I want to urge you, church family, don't fall into the temptation of comparing your gifts, comparing your blessings. He is transforming. He is using each and every one of you. And I know it might feel like sometimes people got an easier route. It might feel like they just get all the blessings. But you know what? There are people that want what you have. And what you have can never be taken away. Because no matter what you're going through right now, you are going to be called home. To me, that's assuring. I'm out of range. Now, shining like stars. I'll be honest, Paul, I didn't understand the star thing. I would have thought shining like the moon. The reason for that is not that Paul is inaccurate, but we do not generate our own light. The moon does not generate its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. And we, as Christians, reflect the light of Christ. You see, all that good stuff in your heart, that hope, that faith, that's not you reflecting the light of Darcy. It's not you reflecting the light of Norma. It's not you reflecting the light of JJ. It's you reflecting the light of Jesus. See, I'll be honest with you, church family. I know without Jesus in my heart, I'm not a great guy. I do. I know I would serve myself. But I know that with Jesus, I can be better. Because he transforms me in here. I know without Jesus, I was going to go to hell. I know that with Jesus, I'm heaven bound. And can I say that with Jesus, you're all heaven bound? Amen. Amen. Let's see, our lives make Jesus visible. My mom had a really cute Christian moment, as a Christian mom does sometimes. LeBron James is a basketball player. And in 2008, we all had these Nike shirts that said witness. And it was supposed to be a witness to LeBron being the best player in the world. My mom thought they were about being a Jehovah's Witness. She thought, like, it's a witness to God. So she went to the Nike store and she's like, they did a Nike Jesus collaboration. And I was like, what? And she came home and she gave me this witness shirt. It was really hard to tell her it wasn't for Jesus, but for LeBron. But the term being a witness still stays true. Our lives make Jesus visible. Our lives do this through kindness. Our lives do this through joy. Our lives do this because we are separate from the rest of the world. And notice I said separate, not better than. I want to really hit that. You were once a sinner struggling, and you are saved only by grace. God wants all 8 billion people in this world to be saved by grace. So we are not better than anyone else in this world, right? In fact, we just want to go out and share them the same grace that we ourselves don't deserve. Because it's like a really good thing. It's like, hey, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me, and you can have it, and all you have to do is follow Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Should be the thing we're most excited to share. Because we are people who reflect light. Light guides, light protects, and light reveals truth. Do you get that you are the light? So let me be clear. It is your job to guide people who don't know Christ into knowing Christ. You are evangelist. I've used this metaphor before, but you should go out in the world in the authority that God gave you. You are all ordained in the light of Jesus. Now, what does it look like to guide people to God? It doesn't mean you have to go out there and preach the gospel on the street corner. It can be seeing someone in need and caring for them. It can be, instead of flipping someone off in traffic, giving them a wave. It really annoys me when people flip me off, but they have the Jesus fish on their car. Like, what are you doing? Light protects. Church family, we should be protecting those who have food scarcity, those who are struggling financially, those who are struggling with their health. The church should be a place of refuge and hope. It is our job to protect those who are in need, right? And lastly, we reveal the truth. If you live in a way that reflects God, that is not the way of this world, people are going to notice. And that will reveal the truth to them. So you don't have to be a great preacher. You don't have to be a great evangelist. But if you go into the world and reflect values that are different than the ones that the world reflects back to themselves, you will reveal light to the truth. So we shine through integrity. We shine through humility. We shine through faithfulness. And we shine without blending in, because we don't have to blend in. You're going to be different. You get it, right? I always think about that song, like, shine, Jesus, shine. Y'all know that one? Live, fill this land with the Father's glory? No? All right. Beth, let's add that to the list sometime. We know it? Okay. Thank you, Rebecca. We haven't sung it in a while, so we'll get on that. Paul tells the church in Philippi, because remember, he's not there. He doesn't know if he's going to get to visit them again because he's writing from prison. To hold fast to the word of life. That scripture shapes transformation. Do not let go of the word of God. Read it. Remember it. Live it. When I teach this passage to the youth, I always ask them the same question. How many times do you pick up your phone and open Instagram per day? How many times do you open your Bible? What do you think they open more? Instagram, 100%. That might date me a little bit because now it might be TikTok. But the idea is the same. Are you opening your Bible every day? Are you opening your Bible at all? I don't want to guilt you. I don't think that's an effective way of encouraging people to read their Bible. I want to say this. If you're reading once a month, try and get to twice. If you're reading once a week, try and get to twice. If you're reading every day, try reading something that might challenge you a little bit. This isn't about going from never reading your Bible to opening it up every day because Pastor Tom said you should do it. This is about reading your Bible and praying that God guides you. It's about slow, steady progress. Going back to my gym metaphor, you're not going to go in the first day and bench 300 pounds, but you're going to get a little improvement each and every time you step in. That's what our walk with Christ is about. It's about a little step forward each and every time. But don't underestimate Scripture. I can't tell you, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I like being honest with you, church family. Some people rely too much on what I say or too much on what Pastor Allen says on a Sunday morning, and they don't check it themselves. If you are coming to church on a Sunday, but you are not reading your Bible, you are not putting in the work that God has placed in your heart. Because when we share a message, it's our result of study and prayer and exploration. But I can tell you that my view on certain passages has changed already. I preached this passage 5 years ago in seminary. And the way I preach it now is totally different because God has done different things in my life. God has brought me to a new place. God has changed me. Because the person I was in seminary is not the same person I am today because he continues to transform me each and every day. You are capable of learning God's word. Now, I know sometimes we might read the King James Version of the Bible and get intimidated by the Old English. But I can tell you there are versions of the Bible that are easy to understand. There's the Message by Eugene Peterson. If you're from the Jamaican community, I learned there's a Patois Bible really recently. Not even joking, there's a whole New Testament. There are versions, thanks Liz for sharing it with me, by the way. There are versions of the Bible that will speak to you. There's comic book versions of the Bible. There are ways for you to study the Word of God. You are capable of comprehending it. You are capable of remembering it. God uses his scripture to shape his people. So when I told you, have an honest prayer, I will ask God, God, what do you need me to read? And sometimes I just take this book and I fling it open and I read. And it's amazing what God can tell me through his word. God will use the scripture to shape each and every one of us. Work out what God is working in. To close this passage, Paul describes his life as an offering. Paul is writing from prison. Paul might die. He doesn't know. Yet Paul continues to rejoice. I want to say this to all of us. Joy is not the absence of hardship. Joy is confidence that God is working through that hardship. Just because you have God in your life doesn't mean things won't be challenging. Doesn't mean you won't get an unfortunate diagnosis. It doesn't mean that you'll always have enough money for everything you want. It means that God is going to work through there and be able to shape your heart. And that your life will be a witness and a testimony that brings other people to know God. So even though you might be struggling, even though you might not feel supported, know that God is working through you. Know that you are not alone. Because God works through our present, God works through our past, and God works through our future. And if you ever take a look, if you ever listen to some of the senior saints in the building, they will tell you about a time where life was really hard, but God delivered them, right? They will tell you about the work that God has done in their lives continually. And God will continue to do that work for each and every one of us. So if you're taking notes, these are the only 4 points you really need to know. Receive Jesus each and every day. Pray daily. Ask God, what do you need me to do? God, who do I need to reach out to? God, where do I need to correct my behavior? God, what do I need to do? Who do I need to care for? Number two is take your transformation seriously. Know that you might have been a Christian for the last 20 years, but I promise you, even if you've read the whole Bible, read it again, because the way you're going to interpret it is going to be different than the way you did before. Trust God's work within you. Trust that He is working through you right now. And most importantly, when you go out in the world, shine like the stars in the world. Amen? Are we going to go out and shine like the stars in the world? I'm going to hold you all to that, just so you know. You can't just say yes blindly. Remember, church family, work out. God is working in your heart. Take time, build your repetitions, and grow. Grow in your faith. Allow faith to transform your life, and go out there and shine Jesus' light in all that you do. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, God. We thank you for the work that you've continued to do in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, we pray that we know the job is not finished. So Lord, I lift up all the people here in the room. I pray that you touch their hearts, Lord. I pray that they feel the power of your transformation. I pray that they root themselves in your word. I pray that they go out and they do shine like the stars of the world, that they reflect your light to your people. Lord, I pray that they care for those who are experiencing homelessness, those who are marginalized, those who are suffering. Lord, I just lift up all those in need, that they feel the light and the warmth that we feel here in this room. So Lord Jesus, just walk with us during this time. Transform us. In your name we pray. Amen.